What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the KO Breakdown here on the the Playmaker Podcast Network. I'm your host, the Fight Analyst Garrett Kern. With me, as always, is my man, Joe Danger himself, Jesse Hobson. What's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's Friday. Better late than never, as my wife always says. But we got some fights going on. We got some fights happening right now. We're looking good so far, even though we can't pronounce names right. And there's going to be just more of that tonight. So yeah. Look forward to that.
Absolutely, man. We're 3-0 right now. Cage Warriors 145 on tap right now. UFC Fight Pass. But we got UFC Vegas 64 on tap. We got a strawweight showdown between two of the top contenders in the division, Marina Rodriguez and Amanda Lemos. This card's, you know, an up and down type of card. I feel like we could kind of breeze through a majority of these fights. We got some good fights. We got some kind of duds of a fight. I mean, we got at least three duds, four duds, because we have four female fights. So, yeah, we got like four duds out of 12. So 30% of this fight card you could probably pass on. But we're here to make money regardless of the fact. That's what we're here for, to put money into your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's probably more than 30% duds, but we like to be positive around here. You know, even when the fight is a dud, there are still opportunities to make money.
That's true. And that's what we're here for, to kind of give you some advice so you can kind of lean one sort of way. But let's just jump right into this breakdown. Let's get through this for you guys. We want to give you quick and precise analysis on every fight, who you should bet on, if you should stay away, or if you make a sandwich, you know, which is about a good majority of these fights. So, well, let's get right down to it. Our first fight up is in the women's bantamweight division between Ramona Pascual and Tamiris Vidal. Right now, Pascual is a... I'm sorry, I didn't even get the odds up. What the fuck? Right now, it's basically a pick. I'm close to a pick. Vidal minus 125 to come back on Pascual, plus 105. Pascual didn't miss weight. She was 127 or 127 and a half pounds. Who do you got?
Yeah, so it sounds like a little bit of money has been coming in on Pascual. Vidal, though, or Vidal, however the hell you say her name, has some decent competitive wins on her record, but not that many. And from what I remember from Pascual, she just kind of gets hit, doesn't do much other than that. I mean, Vidal should win this fight. I don't know enough to feel confident about it, though. I'll take Vidal by decision, and Pascual should be removed from the roster after this one.
Yeah, this is as low level women's MMA you could possibly get. So right off the bat, I am not putting my money on this fight. I'm putting money on anybody. I have to trust them. I have to have some type of trust here. And I don't have any trust on either one of these two. I don't think either one are UFC caliber, but here we are in year 2022. You really don't have to be UFC caliber to be in the UFC nowadays. As far as this fight goes, both fought really low level competition. Vidal, I thought, beaten the better competition by a smidge. And she's shown that at least she can do something good. You know, she gets some finishes. She's got decent grappling if she's able to get it there. And when she's on top, she should be able to get the finish against Pascual if she gets on top. Then lies the fact that she doesn't have great wrestling to get it to the mat. And Pascual's have decent defense because, you know, she's just pretty damn big for the division. Ultimately, I'd probably side with Vidal because I'm just not sold on Pascual. She doesn't throw in a volume. She's throwing less than 7 strikes per minute. Granted, she's landing 55%, but not enough volume. And we saw on the Edwards, she's got double up on strikes in almost both of her UFC fights. So that's not good. So even though Vidal is a, you know, low level striker, she could probably still win just by doing more and being more active, throwing heavier shots, which she does. So ultimately, I think Vidal wins a very boring decision. And this is a fight you could probably just, you know, go make a sandwich. This is a go make a sandwich fight.
Or just get stuck in traffic. It'll probably be a little bit more fun than this. You know, like some of these early like prelim fights, I'm like rushing home to watch.
Yeah.
This is not one of those fights.
Normally I'm watching as I'm driving, you know, I put it on, like I kind of just like put it there. So I'm watching it as I'm going, but yeah, this is definitely not a fight that I'll be watching as I'm going whilst I'm driving. Definitely not.
No, yeah, definitely risk versus reward here.
Yeah, definitely a lot of risk. Not so much reward on the comeback.
Reward. Yeah.
We got Forrest Daniels in the building. He's got Vidal should win a decision. Vidal is 6-1, and this is very low level. The only woman on this card I would put money on is Marina Rodriguez to win. And how are you gentlemen doing today? We're doing fine. We're doing fine as always. It's Friday. Fights are next, you know, just tomorrow. I'm actually excited. You know, it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, I posted a movie review and two interviews. I interviewed the lead actress from the new movie Terrifier 2. So I just got that up on cinedump.com. So I got a lot of work behind me. So now I have a lot of work ahead of me. So, yeah, more work over the weekend, but yeah, happy to relax and watch maybe three decent fights this weekend.
Yeah, not many. So we just got to pick and choose what we get to watch. All right, moving on. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have a fight between Jake Hadley and Carlos Candelario. Candelario did miss weight. He was 127 pounds on the scales. Another one that missed weight. There was five total that missed weight. You're talking about 24 fighters, and five of those 24 fighters missed their contractual weight. That is crazy. Man, your job is
make weight.
Make weight. That's part of your job. Like, if I'm going into work, that's my job. You know what I mean? But we'll keep it moving. But right now, Hadley -265. The comeback on Candelario is +225. What
do you got? Yeah, we got two Dana White Contender Series products coming in to face each other after some less than stellar debuts. You know, Jake is an inch shorter, so I doubt that plays a role. But I would assume his pace is the deciding factor here. Hadley is a bit more battle-tested, and he's always looking for the finish. While I don't think he gets it here, I do think he gets his hand raised after 15 minutes for doing more damage. Both guys are actually really fun to watch. This is one of the few fights that I am excited for. I just think Hadley is a little bit better, and I like Jake Hadley by decision.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big Hadley believer. I did fade him in his last fight because I knew it was just a bad stylistic matchup against Nascimento. Nascimento is a great grappler, great in transitions, great in scrambles, something Candelario is not. Hadley is a great submission artist. He's a great wrestler. He loves to take it to the mat. And we've seen that Candelario gets taken down and he gets controlled when he gets taken down. I see more of the same here. I think this is a get-right fight for Hadley. They're giving him one back, and we probably will not see Candelario fight in the UFC after this. And it's just – it is what it is. I don't think he's a terrible fighter. He just, you know, got the, you know, some bad luck going against, you know, some elite competition right off the bat. So I think Hadley goes in there and takes him down and probably gets him out of there inside two rounds. I think he gets a submission. I don't think he gets a decision. I think he looks good here. And then – I think, like you said, pace of pressure, I think that's going to wear on Candelario, who came in overweight. Normally, when you're overweight just by a smidge, that means there's something wrong in your, you know, in your body. And it feels like to the point where your body just can't cut any more weight. And that's not good. Especially you're cutting weight, now you have to go grapple for 15 minutes. Have fun. All right. But yeah. Jake Hadley, -265. Next up, we got a fight in the bantamweight division between Johnny Munoz Jr. and Ludwig Shulinian. Shulinian? I think it's Shulinian.
That's a cool name.
I know, right? I'm gonna go with Ludwig. It's a lot easier. Yeah. Munoz is -250. The comeback on Ludwig is +210. Who do you got?
I like Ludwig too, just because it sounds like a Super Mario Brothers villain. You know, Munoz only loses to the best, with recent losses coming from Tony Gravely and Nate Maness, who is also on this card. Ludwig hasn't really found his footing since joining the UFC, and him losing to Ricky Tercios. Yeah, I said it a million times prior, but every time we're recording, I just can't seem to say it. That loss is a bit telling. While I do think both guys are mid, I think Munoz is a bit higher on that mid scale. However, I wouldn't be really surprised by anything here because Munoz, I do think he wins, but I just don't know enough. But that being said, I think Munoz has a better shot at finishing this fight. I like him inside the distance. Via sub or maybe even finishing him, knockout. But I like inside the distance just because it's a little safer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I'm fairly confident I'm gonna bet a ton of money on Munoz at -250, but I'm confident he gets the win. I don't think Ludwig is UFC caliber. I think he was, he had the Cinderella story. He won a tough fight against against Mitch Raposo, he came back and he won, two of three rounds. He looked good. But then, came Tercios, who just out scrambled him on the mat and just outpaced him on the feet, which is very bad against somebody like Munoz, who's a lot bigger than him. So I don't think the takedowns are going to come very easily. And he's definitely going to get out grappled on the mat. If you let Ricky Tercios get back to his feet, you're going to get swept by Johnny Munoz, who is a legit black belt in jiu-jitsu. Seven or eight of his wins have come by submission. I am taking a shot on him to win via submission. Where's the line? Where the hell is it? Plus like 295 by submission right now. And I think that's a pretty damn solid play considering majority of his wins are by submission. And Munoz is definitely the best grappler next to Jack Shore, but I say best submission threat that Ludwig has ever faced in his career. I know Jack Shore has got good submissions and, I think he's a black belt as well, but Munoz's game is really predicated on getting that sub, whereas Shore is just looking to really grind you out and beat you up into a submission. So I think Munoz goes in there and taps into absolute bit, probably early, maybe round one, maybe round two. All right, moving on. We got a fight in the bantamweight division between Mario Bautista and Benito Lopez right now. Bautista -360 to come back on Lopez, +295. Who do you got?
Yeah, so we've been talking about Lopez all week. Pretty crazy to think, he is 10-1. I remember thinking I really wanted to fade him going forward after his last win, which was in 2019.
And mind you, I'm pretty sure everybody thought he lost that fight.
Yes, that too. But that's why I wanted to fade him. I was like, everyone's going to be high on this kid. I wanted to make money off of that win, right, in one way or another. Where has this guy been? I just think Bautista is the total package. And what's with the crazy layoff? I'm sure I could Google it, but I'll just ask you, Garrett, where has Lopez been? I'm taking Bautista inside the distance, as I assume the layoff will be a factor here. And I look for Bautista to capitalize. Honestly, anyone that's off for that long going against Mario Bautista, I feel like is going to be in trouble.
Oh, this, I never use the word lock, but this is a lock if there will ever be a lock on any fight night card, because Bautista has looked phenomenal as of late. In his last two fights, he looked phenomenal. Even in the Trevin Jones fight where he got caught and lost, he looked good there as well. This dude is legit. I think he's a top 10 fighter. He's getting a guy that's coming in on a 3.5-year layoff. Where was he? This guy was just having a family. He has now got a couple kids. He got the dad bod. He left Team Alpha Male. He's now the real estate agent. He's getting into investing in properties and this and that. He's got a bunch of other shit going on. He's a family man now. Fighting is not his priority. He ballooned up to the point where he missed weight yet again. He's missed weight in the past. He looks absolutely in the worst shape that I've ever seen him in his entire career. Not a ton of muscle definition. This is not good. We're going to see him hang up the gloves after getting absolutely mauled by Bautista. I'd be surprised if he lasts 3 minutes. Bautista is gonna come like a bat out of hell, and he's gonna fuck him up. I'm being real honest right here. I'm not really high on Benito Lopez as it is, because I thought he's lost like at least two of his last three fights. He's got gifted wins. Yeah. Yes, he was talented back then, but back then he was only 25 years old and he was young. He was in shape. He can't do that shit no more. I'm sorry. You know, he's 28 now and he's coming off the couch. He had the whole dad bod going. Still has a dad bod.
Yep.
He just 138 pounds of a dad bod. Dude's just not in shape. He just lost weight. So he's coming in there, getting his paycheck, using that to buy some properties, flip some cash, and keep it moving in his other ventures. So yeah, Bautista absolutely fucks this man up. Probably round one. It is what it is. It's a fucking horrible matchup for him. I am very high on Bautista. He's my lock of the night. I love parlaying him and Hadley. Two extreme mismatches, two extreme setup fights. They get the job done.
Well, and also, too, don't forget he no longer has his hair down the middle anymore. And I think that's a huge tell. Like that's part of his character, his persona. And he no longer has that. He no longer has that fire.
No. He's a dad now, bro. He's a dad. He's not a fighter. He's not a fighter no more.
It's just weird. Like that's, I mean, I understand like moving on and, you know, different, you know, cash flows, but to totally get rid of your signature and not even like reignite that fire for your comeback fight is just odd to me.
Yeah, I feel like he's in there for that last paycheck, because his last fight is his contract, and sail off into the sunset.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on. I think I missed the fight. Yeah, I did. Our next fight up is in the women's flyweight division. It's probably because I really mentally wanted to, you know, get past this fight. In a fight between Jinyu Fry and Poliana Viana right now. Viana minus 140 comeback on Fry plus 120. Who do you got?
You know, I keep thinking back to that Ricci fight where Viana just laid on the ground. And as talented as I think she is, it's hard to look past that. You know, Frey is older, but she is a dog. And while she is a bit on that older side, she does come to fight. I'm picking Frey to win this fight, but I'm not confident, as either girl could lose a round based on some stupid shit like laying on the ground. I like the over 2.5, and the fight does go to decision. And because this is somewhat of a coin flip, I'll side with the dog here. I like Fry, but her being the dog is just that much more convenient for me, because I would pick the dog regardless of who it is. Right. I just think she has more fight in her ultimately.
Yeah. First off, fuck this fight. First and foremost. And yeah, I feel like if you're going to pick anybody, it should be the dog here on Fry. I mean, she's competent in her stand-up. She's got decent wrestling to get it to the mat. The only worry is if she gets it to the mat, she gets caught in an armbar. Yep. I just don't see that happening. But Vanessa Demopoulos couldn't do it. Neither could she get it to the mat, and somehow she won.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I know. That was the craziest decision ever. But either way, I can't, well, like I said, I can't bet on this fight, but I also can't take Viana as a favorite too. She just lacks fight IQ. And she just, I don't know, she lacks a lot. So I would take Fry here. There's not much analysis here, because I really didn't want to do much research on this fight whatsoever, because they both suck. And neither one of these two you should ever put your money on and trust them. So yeah, fuck this fight. Moving on.
I hold on. I think that the reason why I would side more with Fry is that you, like, while Viana does lack IQ, she lacks urgency. And if this fight is going to decision, that's what they need. She needs urgency to win on the cards, and she just doesn't have that.
No, yeah, that's true. You know, like you said, when she's laying on her back, there's complete lack of urgency.
Yeah. But Ryan Hall can do that. That's really it.
Yeah. He's the outlier here. All right, moving on. We got the next fight up also in the flyweight division between Miranda Maverick and Shayna Young. Right now, Maverick minus 700. The comeback on Young plus 510. What do you got?
Didn't we break this down a few weeks ago and we both agreed to say, fuck this fight?
Yes.
Well, I'm still in that boat. But looking back, I think we both agree to maybe take a stab on Young due to her size and Maverick not being worth the price. But after hearing that Young had to be hospitalized the last time that this was scheduled, I'm having a hard time even wanting to take a stab. Yeah. Maverick should get it done, but earlier in the week she was minus 265, now minus 700, or she was 625, now minus 700. That's just too steep, man. Based on size alone, these are low-level women. Anything could happen. I may parlay Maverick if I need a bump, but that's about it. I think she gets it done. But, yeah, ultimately, this is just a pass for me, dog.
I'm just trying to figure out as to why they're making this fight again.
Yeah, I don't even know why.
It's not even like this fight was on, you know, this was on like a UFC fight pass. Like you could go back and watch shit. And she choked her out in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see it being any different now. What's going to be different? I mean, it's not like Shayna Young got better. She hasn't at all. She's looked terrible. Meanwhile, Maverick is on a tear. She's since that fight won five. She's gone 5-2. Technically should be 6-1. You know, ultimately, Marion Maverick should absolutely dominate, like Forrest Daniels is saying. I expect that, and I expect another submission win. I mean, if you're going to bet this, a submission is arguably probably your best bet. You know, so Maverick by submission. If I can find it. Plus 130, not terrible. Because her to win a decision is plus 140.
I thought Young looked decent in the last few fights, but I mean, she looked better than she did.
The thing is, she gets taken down. So
oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like the size will play a factor, but who's to say how long it will play a factor?
Right.
Especially if she was hospitalized last time they were matched up. This is just a stupid.
And she almost missed weight again. She had to cut her hair off to make weight.
Yeah, that's. All so, writing on the wall to be.
Maverick has to get a finish probably here.
I don't know why they want her to succeed so bad. She's not really that marketable. I mean, she's entertaining against very low level, but that's it.
I don't know, man. It has such high praise for her, but once she hits like the elitist, yeah, like an Aaron Blanchfield, she runs into a buzzsaw. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you get to the highest level, but she could definitely beat majority of that top 10, though.
Yeah, I mean, she's in the conversation, but it's like, I don't know what it is about her, but sometimes she just gets this like look in her face where she's lost, and she has she has the skill set to get it done.
That's when she's fighting through adversity. She gets like that. She gets like a deer in the headlight
look. Yeah, she really does. It's so blatant that it sucks the most when you have a lot of money on her.
She gets punched in the face. She's like, fuck, I don't know what to do here.
You're like, oh, man. Yeah, come on. I'm trying to bet here. Trying to have a good Saturday.
All right. Let's keep it moving. All right. Next fight up is in the featherweight division between Derek Minner and Shailin Nurembeka. Right now, Nurembeka is minus 210. The comeback on Minner plus 180. Who do you got?
All right. So I understand the love for Derek Minner, but I'm not going to bet it. I get it. I understand he can get a submission. I just think that this is a weird mid-level fight that nobody cares about or should care about. Despite being slightly shorter, I think however the hell you say his name,
Nurembeka.
Yeah, I guess. you say it again, Nurembeka. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like he has a little bit higher of a ceiling. Minner is tough enough not to get finished, but that's about it. I like Nurembeka by decision, but I could care less about him or his weird hat. This is a weird fight for me. I'm just not. Neither one of these guys are all that entertaining. Minner has had some good fights, but meh.
I have to bet Minner at plus 400 by submission. I mean, Nurembeka has literally beaten nobody. he was getting out scrambled by TJ Brown in his last fight for big portions of it.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have to go against a submission threat and get out scrambled by Minner. I mean, and Norton Beck has been submitted 6 times by terrible opposition outside of the UFC. So, and you're talking about Minner's got 20 submissions under his belt. And you're giving me against a guy that's willing to go and grapple and put himself in bad positions. And you're giving me plus 400 for him to get a submission. Why the hell would I not bet that? I mean, you're giving him, you're giving Minner the opportunity to snatch a neck, get a triangle, get an armbar, sweep you, get on top, get your back. He's going to give him the opportunity. He's going to go in there and wrestle. That's what he does. He's a wrestler.
Yep.
Not a grappler, a wrestler. And he wants to stay heavy on you and just wear you down and lay on you. Well, that's bad if he gets out grappled, if he gets get caught in transitions and scrambles. He's not the best control, and he tends to fade just wrestling as well. So, you know, I think Minner's going to have 15 minutes to snatch a neck or do something, and you're giving me plus 400. I will take a stab at that. Not saying it's a lock by any means, but Minner has the ability to just come out of nowhere and get submissions. And this is one of those opportunities, I think, because Norton Becker is not going to want to play this fight on the feet. He's going to put himself in some bad positions, and I think Minner capitalizes. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm not saying you should bet a ton of money, but even 25 bucks wins you $100. I mean, I think you can risk losing $25 to win a possible 100, then taking Norton Becca, you know, to win by decision at only plus 200. You're winning double that. I just don't see it. I mean, granted, Norton Becca probably steals a decision if it goes there. So in that case, what you could just do to save yourself is bet Norton Becca by decision, which is that like plus 210. And then you could take Minner by sub at plus 400.
Yeah, or you could just bet Minner straight up or Minner by sub and then bet Norton Becca after round one.
Yeah, that's true. Because I think Minner will be the most dangerous
in round one
more than anything else. Because Minner in round one, it's got to be a decent payoff too. Minner in round one is plus 650, plus 750. So if you can even go that route, if you really wanted to play it safe, just take Minner in round one for a little bit and then live at Norton Becca after round one.
Yeah, because then, I mean, then you wouldn't be – I mean, you wouldn't be spending any money if for some reason Minner – if Minner wins, you collect. But if Norton Becca wins, it's going to be by decision. I would assume so anyway.
Yeah, and then you get plus 200 for him to win by decision.
Yeah.
Anyways.
There's ideas.
Moving on. Our next fight up is in the lightweight division between Grant Dawson and Mark Madsen. Right now, Dawson minus 210 to come back on Madsen at plus 180. Who do you got?
This is a fun one. And while I typically be all over Madsen due to Dawson's camp, Madsen's size and age give me a bit of concern. I still think he puts on a decent showing, but I'd expect Dawson to be controlled for two-thirds of this fight. I'll be putting a small play on my boy, Mark Madsen, as he's pretty relentless, and I'm really just not sure if Dawson can stuff the takedowns for an entire 15 minutes. No, I don't even think he can do it for 10 minutes. Let's just hope that the judges award my guy for actually controlling the fight. Mark Madsen, moneyline, all day daddy.
Forrest Angeles agrees with you as well. And I agree with you as well.
Yeah. I was happy to know that I was not an island boy for this one here.
No, man. You know, this plays right into Mark Madsen's, you know, will set. He's going against another grappler, another good wrestler. And I think it's going to look good. I think he's going to get the best win of his career. I think Dawson's going to push him a bit. But we saw Dawson talking about how, oh, he's had 10 weeks to get ready for this. He's had 6 opponents pull out or whatever. He was already getting ready for this, you know, for this date, fighting other guys. No one heard about him, you're fighting anybody on any given day at all. So I think that's just all a little bit of fluff, and it kind of showed to be true by him missing weight. He even asked Madsen, because I think at first he was going to fight on the close fight card, the one that got canceled last time. He was going to show up there, but he wanted to catch weight of 160 pounds. So Madsen said no. Madsen's like, no, I want 155. I'm in shape. I will wait a couple weeks, give you that extra time. I want to fight 155. He comes in championship weight 155, and then you have Grant Dawson that kind of looks out of shape. I think he's getting too accustomed to the Miami lifestyle. You know, he's out and about. He's having fun. He's, you know, he's getting ready to get married a couple days after his fight. He's got all this shit going on. I know he's getting ready to fight. He's always in fight camp because his, you know, his wife to be, is also a fighter. So they both train together, eat together, all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like he's living the Miami lifestyle right now. He's tanning, he's going to the beach, he's, you know, probably going out. I mean, it's different when you're going from Michigan all the way down here. Oh, no, I'm sorry, from Missouri. That's where he was training. Missouri from Glory MMA, all the way down here. It's a whole different ballgame. So I feel like they're just, you know, they're growing a life. And I feel like it's kind of showing. And I think he's going to be in a rude awakening, thinking he can go in there and out-wrestle these Olympic silver medalists. I think we're getting a good line, plus 180. He was all the way up to plus 190 early in the week. I think it's a steal to take him as a dog. I'm saying it's a slam dunk, but plus 180, I feel like it's a no-brainer bet. I know Mark Madsen's 38 years old, but the dude's in incredible shape, training over at Fight Ready Camp. You know, Kevin Gastelum is now there. John Jones was getting a lot of work in there. Zhang Weili, Henry Cejudo. They got high-level guys there. Sean O'Malley. No, sorry. Sean O'Malley's at MMA Lab. That's my bad. My bad. But anyways, also, he's training at one of the best strength and conditioning places, that train MMA fighters in Neuroforce One. They use a lot of different kind of technology out there. So, you know, I think he's obviously in much better shape than Grant Dawson. I think he's going to push him. And Dawson, we know, fades as fight goes on. He's definitely going to fade in rounds two and rounds three. So give me Mark Madsen the runaway with this in rounds two and round three. What's the line of the judges suck? That's a great question, because each and every week we tend to get burned by these damn judges. We have no idea what they are looking at. And I think we never will, honestly. We're actually thinking about it. I just don't know when we'll ever understand what they're betting on. I mean, not betting on. Well, we know what they're betting on. The one that won.
The one that won, yeah.
But, yeah, man, that Dustin Jacoby decision was very fishy. Very fishy. And we're talking about, I know you can't really look at the stats and come our way with a clear picture, because that's not how fighting works. But he literally doubled Khalil Roundtree on strikes, landed and strikes thrown. I don't know how you give that fight to Khalil Roundtree, but he's neither here nor there now, a week later. But still sulking in my own sorrows, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was like the O'Malley fight. I kept waiting for them to be like, whoops, we made a mistake. We read it wrong. I mean, that's a closer fight, but I still was like, was like, where's the guy that's supposed to say that they read it wrong?
Gotcha.
Like, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, we'll see. Well, hopefully we get none of those this week. I would like to get one back. The MMA gods need to give me one back. So hopefully I get one back this week.
Mark Madsen.
All right, moving on. We got a fight in the flyweight division between Tagir Ulyanbekov and Nate Maness right now. Ulyanbekov minus 250 in the comeback, and Maness plus 185. Yeah.
What? Say his last name again. Nate. Say Nate's last name.
Nate Maness.
I thought it was Maness.
No, it's Maness.
Oh well, I can't even say the white people's names right. while Tagir's last name does end in OV, his skills are a bit lacking in comparison to many of his Russian counterparts. While Nate Menes did lose to Umar. He went the distance, and Menes also has solid wins over Munoz, Sanders, and Tony Gravely. He has a kid on the way. He's hungrier now more than he ever has been. You know, especially if you've seen his photos of him trying to lose weight. He's definitely hungry. Tagir, you know, he's stiff on the feet. And I believe if this does stay standing, Menes should have his way with this one. You know, but after seeing those photos of him trying to get his weight down, you know, I want to hope that Nate has a good showing here, just because I really like the guy, but I'm worried for the kid, man. I really want him to win. I have him picked to win by decision. I just hope that he didn't bite off more than he can chew, ultimately.
Yeah, those pictures were hard to look at because I like him. You know, I'm a fan of his. So you don't want to see anybody, you know, put their body through such, you know, stress like that. That's crazy. He says, you know, he felt good, feels good. He's healthy. You know, he made weight the right way. He was perfect. He was spot on. It's just, is it going to hinder his performance? I don't know. Can you take a flush punch to the chin? I don't know. Cause you know, he lost a ton of water weight. We really don't know how much he's going to be able to really regain that back in only just 24 hours. There's just too many question marks for me to lay any kind of money on him. I hope him the best, but I'm feeling more confident in Ulan Bekov because he knows what to do. He knows what he needs to do, and that's to take the fight to the mat. He fights smart. He knew he had an advantage on the feet against his last opponent in Elliott. So he kept it there. But the opponent before that, he took it to the mat because he knew he had an advantage there. He knows he needs to go in there. He knows he needs to grapple. And I feel like he's going to grapple a lot, and that's going to take a lot out of Nate. I don't think he's going to be able to grapple for 15 minutes and not be exhausted. If his cardio holds up, wrestling for 15 minutes after that drastic weight cut, man, fucking kudos. That would be phenomenal. I just can't see how someone depleting their body that much is going to have the cardio to go and out wrestle a combat sambo type Russian wrestler who trained with someone who just did the exact same thing that he did to you last fight. Like, they know exactly what to do, what to do against you, what works against you, and he's going to replicate the same thing. Maybe he's not as good technically. Maybe he's not as strong, but you just depleted your entire body to make 125. And now you have to go and try to correct those wrongs when you're not at full strength, you're not at full health. I don't know. You're talking about a guy that fought at as high as 155. Now he's going down to 125, and he's not small. That dude is yoked from 125. He's now by far the biggest flyweight on the roster by a good margin. The dude is yoked. He's got no fat on his body, like, at all. It's crazy that he even made 125. He's got insane power. He does have good takedown defense, but over time, I don't think he's going to be able to fend takedowns because his cardio is not going to be able to hold up for it. So that's where I'm going with this. I have Tagir Ulanbekov probably winning via decision, just control time, just like Umar Nurmagomedov did. Hate to say it because I want Nate to be successful, but I think this is a hard matchup to take when you're cutting to 125 for the first time of your career.
Yeah. I mean, privately, I discussed with you what he looked like, and I said he looked like a baby that had been in a microwave. His face looked like a baby doll that had been, like, all everything was like a baby doll mixed with like a raisin. I've just never seen a person look like that. That was, I mean, I have, but I guess someone that I'm such a big fan of, it's like odd to see them like that.
Yeah, even Forrest agrees with us, and I know he's a big Nate supporter over here.
Huge, huge.
Yeah, and I am too. I want him to be to do good. I think he's good. I think he's a good fighter. I just wish he stayed at 135. I don't think the 125 was the right move.
We'll see tomorrow. I'm gonna circle him. So
yeah, circle. All right, moving on. Our next fight up is in the heavyweight division between Chase Sherman and Josh Parisian. Right now, Sherman minus 135 to come back. Parisian plus 115. Who do you got?
Yeah, you know, I wrote off Sherman a long time ago, and while Sherman looked good in his last outing, I'm truly hoping that those days are behind us. You know, Parisian is a better Vandera, and I hope that he does what Vandera couldn't and should have done.
Right.
Knock out Sherman. You know,
or just take him down.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if Parisian can wrestle Sherman a bit and frustrate him, I don't see Sherman getting his hand raised. You know, Parisian does gas at times, but even when he looks like he's about to go into cardiac arrest, he is still fighting. So I'm hoping that he wrestles his fat ass off and either wins. I think he's going to win via ground and pound.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Sherman is going to look frustrated. He's going to have that look on his face like, I should have won, like he always does when he gets knocked out. And I just hope he goes back to BKFC and out of the UFC. He's a bad I don't like his attitude. I did a couple years ago, but it just seems like he acts as if he's like better than the sport. And I don't like that. It's weird.
Yeah, I definitely can't bet on Chase Sherman as a favorite, like, ever. And if Parisian just fought smart, just go in there and take him down, he wins rather easily. I mean, Sherman, he's got to take it down a shit ton in his last couple fights. I think like 7 times in his last 3 fights. Granted, against pretty good wrestlers, especially Alexander Romanov, for one of them. But the one before that wasn't really that impressive. But anyways, Parisian, yeah, like you said, he comes to fight. Both these guys are going to throw down in the center until one of them falls, or Parisian goes out there and takes him down and ground and pound, because Sherman cannot get up. This dude just cannot get up. He's not going to get up. Once he's flat on his back, he's pretty much done. He's a dead duck. And then, especially with Parisian, who's got size on him, he's probably going to be pushing 275, 280. So he's going to have at least 25 to 30 pounds on Sherman, because Sherman doesn't cut weight. Parisian cuts weight, and he's bigger than him. So I'm expecting if Parisian takes it to the mat, he's definitely going to finish it from there. So I would take Parisian inside the distance, which is plus 200. I think that's a much better way of betting this. I like the under 2.5 rounds at minus 159. I think that's also a decent bet. One of these guys is getting a finish. But yeah, I got Parisian winning. I got him winning via ground and pound. All right, we're up to our co-main event in the welterweight division between Neil Magny and D-Rod Daniel Rodriguez. Right now, Magny minus 125 to come back on D-Rod plus 105. Who do you got?
Yeah, you know, we're finally here. I wasn't impressed with D-Rod in his last go. When he couldn't find the knockout, he seemed frustrated. Like, that was not normal for him. And honestly, I thought he lost. And what Lee lacks, I feel like Magny should be able to capitalize on. Expect clinch work, pressure, typical Magny control here. While he's coming off of a loss, I think he bounces back with a decision win and ultimately avenges Lee's loss. All hail Neil Magny via decision.
We have Thomas asking, do you guys think it will go over 1.5 rounds? Absolutely. I feel like it's going over 2.5 rounds. This fight.
Is he talking about this fight or the last fight?
If he's thinking about last fight, I think that goes over. Actually, I think that goes under.
Yeah, I think that goes – it might go over – like, I would say it probably ends in round 2.
Oh, he's talking about this fight.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. I think this goes over 1.5 easy. Or, easy peasy.
Yeah. But as far as this fight goes, I would not press in either one of these two in their last fight. Mind you, I bet on both of them, and I skated with the skin of my teeth getting a win because I thought both of them lost those fights. Magny got fucked up by Max Griffin, almost finished in round one. At least he came back, fought hard. I give that to him. D-Rod looked flat as fuck in that entire fight.
He looked weird, right?
He looked terrible. But also, he was out of shape, coming back after surgery and this and that. So, you know, maybe give him some slack. He looks in a lot better shape now. I think we see a better version of him. But I think Magny's going to test that takedown defense a lot against D-Rod. And we know Magny is a really good wrestler. He did some cross-training over at Hensel Gracie Philly with the guys over there. Sean Brady, Andre Petrovsky, Jeremiah Wells, all those, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts. I think that's really going to help him here. I really expect a heavy dose of grappling. So I think Neil Magny goes in there, just uses a ton of it, clinch work up against the cage, rinse and repeat, and just make D-Rod work, and get a decision win.
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, as long as we have money on Magny, I feel like it's going to be entertaining. I'm going to be really pissed off if Rodriguez gets his hand, like another gift.
I know. See, that's what the thing is. Magny, these fights are a lot close.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like betting on Magny fights because the fights are very, very close. And anybody can win. And these judges fucking suck. So, yeah. All right, moving on. We're finally to our main event in the strawweight division between Amanda Lemos and Marina Rodriguez. Right now, Rodriguez minus 225. Comeback on Lemos plus 190. Who do you got?
You know, while Lemos did beat Watterson, she didn't look great near the end of that fight. And a lot like that fight, I assume Lemos starts strong and Rodriguez should take over and never look back here. Do I want to, you know, bet the chalk here? No, I definitely don't. I think both ladies are fun to watch. However, Rodriguez talks the talk and deserves this fight and this win. Who does she fight next, though? Thug Rose, perhaps. But I like Marina Rodriguez by decision, but I wouldn't bet it because this fight is a lot closer than the odds indicate. Either one of these ladies could win this fight because what it's going to come down to is the coin flip decision that we are all going to hate.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, on one hand, Lemos is definitely she's the finisher. You know, she's one of the few strawweight fighters that can actually finish you on the mat. She can finish you on the feet. And she's got legit power. I do expect Marina to get hit. Marina did not look good in the Yan fight, and I arguably thought she lost that fight. Most did have her losing. So that's not great, and that's not something you want to go bet minus 220 on right now.
Nope.
But granted, I do think she runs away despite the later it goes. She definitely has a cardio advantage. She has 25-minute advantage as well. She's been in there before. She's got the volume advantage and she's going to be able to utilize her stick and move and just outpoint Amanda Lemos. I would wait and see the line after round one. It might dip down a little bit because I feel like Lemos is going to come out hot. She's going to throw some heavy hands. And I think the odds is going to kind of shift a little bit because she's already down the round. I would wait till after round one to see if that money comes down a little bit on Rodriguez and then hit it then. But, yeah, I think Rodriguez should run away with this, win 4-1. She might even win it all, but ultimately Rodriguez should get the job done. Keep it moving. That should be on like a 5-fight winning streak. Thug Rose should be in her next sight, and then we'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, she's got to be fighting for the title soon. I think it should be Thug Rose and then fight Zhang wins, you know, Zhang beats Carlos Esparza.
Yeah, because everybody above her, everybody else, she's beat. So I'm just like, right. Who else can she fight? But I don't know, man. Like, well, you kind of got me thinking about this because initially it just seemed like such a, like on paper, it just seems like she should run away with it, man. It's that first round, though. That has me a little concerned about Rodriguez, you know, running away with it. If Lemos can land heavy, you know, even if she doesn't finish her, and if she hurts her, I mean, it might be a little different. So I do like Rodriguez, but I'm still hesitant.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely not something I really want to go and run and bet a lot of money on. So I probably just got to keep it light on that main event and just watch what happens.
I like the live bet. I think that that's the best like way to do it, because I feel like Lemos is going to come out hot and heavy. And I
Lemos. Think, Lemos.
Yeah, it's sexy, right? Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm trying. I think that she's going to come out hot and heavy, like you said, and I think that the line will shift a little bit. And I think that that's a very wise play. It's almost like you've done this before.
Maybe. Once or twice. But all right. Before we go, guys, I need you guys to go to prizepicks.com. Sign up there. Use promo code PROPSLIVE for 100% deposit up to $100. Guys, it's super simple. It's either more than or less than. The props that they have there are super fun, super easy. You win 3 in a row. You got, I think it was 5 times your money, 4 in a row, 10 times your money, 5 in a row. All you got to do is hit 3 and you get some of your money back. All you got to hit is 3 out of 5. 4 out of 5, you double your money. 5 out of 5, you get 10 times your money. It's that simple.
Holy shit.
It's a lot of money and a lot of fun, and it's super easy. We're talking like over 2.5 takedowns. Or less than 66 strikes. It's that easy. So go over there, sign up, use promo code PROPSLIVE, and we will see you guys next week for more money, more breakdowns, and more of us. Don't you want to see us? Look at this. Look at his face. Look at his face. All right.
LFA tonight. Go watch our video. Make some money on that as well.
Absolutely, guys. We went 4-1 on Cage Warriors. Bringing that over to LFA. Bring that over to tomorrow night, UFC Vegas 64 on ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will see you all next week. We're out of here. Adios. You guys have a great night, great weekend, and see you then.